What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique voices in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen. In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with Dartmouth College senior Nina Peripovich, who was a two-time New Zealand National Championship finalist before joining the Big Green. Led by head coach Bob Dallas and assistant coach Dave Jones, Nina captured 11 doubles wins for Dartmouth in her freshman campaign. This past summer, she served as an intern at Apple Watch. Welcome to On the Rise podcast. I am joined today by Nina Peripovich from Dartmouth. Nina, how are you?
I'm good.
Could you tell me, you know, a little bit about your childhood and about how you came to Dartmouth?
Yeah, for sure. So I was born in Zimbabwe, actually. My parents lived there for a few years. That's a different story. But yeah, basically they moved to New Zealand in 2002 when I was 2 years old. And I grew up there all throughout high school. Coming to the U.S. for college was the first time I came to the U.S. I spent most of my childhood playing tennis. I was really passionate about it. And kind of at the time, a lot of the people I was playing with, they were getting scholarships to go to the U.S. They were like kind of using that opportunity to like keep playing after high school, which is not really an opportunity in New Zealand. So yeah, that sounded super appealing to me. And especially like getting a taste of the U.S. education system also was like very appealing. So yeah, I went through that process and ended up at Dartmouth, and I've been here ever since. I'm going into my senior year starting in the fall, so it's been good.
Wow. Well, could we go back a little bit into your childhood playing tennis, and how does it work in New Zealand? Did you play national tournaments, or was it more in your region?
I was about 7 when I first started playing tennis. Kind of going like a few times a week. By the age of 10, you already start playing like all across New Zealand, not necessarily national events, but just you kind of have to travel. It's not that big of a sport in New Zealand, so the pool of players is pretty small, so people kind of have to play all over. By the age of, I would say 12, I was already traveling internationally just to be able to compete with more people at my level, just because I was already getting pretty limited in New Zealand. And yeah, that was a lot of like going to Australia, going to Asia. I definitely got a lot of traveling, which I was super lucky to experience. And yeah.
And how did school work into this?
A lot of people that I played with from New Zealand did choose to homeschooling just because it was so much traveling. But I've always taken school pretty seriously, and I decided I didn't really want to go down that route, that I kind of enjoyed still having that other space and like a separate community and like coming back, like being able to go to school. So yeah, I still went to high school, like regular high school, like everyone else. And I don't know, I basically just had to learn to time manage and get a lot of projects in before the deadline. And at the same time, like, I think a lot of the teachers that I worked with, like, understood, and they were pretty, yeah, they were understanding about me, like, kind of wanting to balance both things. And they worked with me to, like, be able to sort that out.
I mean, it's very impressive. I cannot even imagine traveling internationally while also going to school all throughout high school, correct?
Yeah. So it was tough, but I think it really helped me in the long run. And I think I enjoyed the challenge, and I'm a pretty independent person. So I think for me, it did like align with a lot of kind of like how I like working. So yeah, it worked out.
And socially, was that kind of, were your peers supportive of you, you know, traveling and obviously missing some classes?
I don't know. They were a little bit confused what was going on. Like, I would kind of be at school at some point, and then all of a sudden I wouldn't be there. And like, they were just like, oh, she's at another tennis tournament. And especially with tennis not being a big culture in New Zealand, I think that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, my close friends supported me. they would keep me updated with what's going on. It was good to kind of like have these two different lives I was living.
Yes, very much like Kim Possible.
Yeah, a little bit.
My idol. Anyway, I am wondering how did you do all this travel? Were you alone traveling or did you have a parent?
Yeah, so I, like, growing up, my parents were working full-time, and a lot of that was to support me, support my tennis, like, my academics. So I really traveled with them, I think, maybe a few times when I was younger, kind of locally for the weekend. But other than that, I traveled with my coach. I started working with him when I was 7 years old, and then all throughout high school as well. So I knew him for like, we worked together for a good 10 years. I traveled with him a lot, and he would take a group of us. So we knew each other really well. And a few times when I was a bit older, I did a few like solo Australia trips after I'd been there a few times. And like, I would know other people going to the tournaments, but I would kind of just organize my own accommodation and like flights and stuff, and it worked out, and I like really learned how to live on my own, which is exciting. And I was super excited to do that stuff, and it kind of just like naturally happened. So yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I loved it.
Wow. And so coming to the States, it wasn't as big of a deal as it could have been because you had already been traveling.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just like another country. I mean, honestly, it was probably even a smoother transition compared to some places just because it is another English-speaking country. Like a lot of New Zealand culture is influenced by American culture. And I think, you know, when you get to college, there's such a big support base. And I fit directly into a team. Like I already knew a good like 10 other girls. I wasn't that like in shock when I got here. I think there were other things that surprised me more rather than like moving to another country and being by myself. But yeah.
So what did surprise you coming to the States?
Not that I knew the culture, but I thought that I was aware of the differences and, you know, like seeing everything on the media and that kind of thing. But I think when you actually move to a new country, there's so many small details that you pick up on that kind of you didn't really expect to experience. The political system and how people talk about politics was super new to me because back in New Zealand, it's completely different. And it's a smaller country. People are a lot more relaxed about it. Like it's a newer country as well. And so yeah, coming to the U.S., I had to learn a lot about the history and why things are how they are now, which was super interesting. But yeah, it definitely took some time to understand that and like understand why there's such a big difference between the two systems. And then even just like smaller things like how people converse and like humor and how people greet each other. And I think at the start, I didn't really think much of that. And I just, it kind of, it's like those small things that add up that I was like, oh, this is so different. Like, I don't know, sometimes I'd say things that people would think is funny in New Zealand, like here, like I wouldn't get the same reaction. But I learned pretty quickly. So yeah.
Well, I can't even imagine, and really the bravery that it takes to come into a whole new culture. And also, as you said, I mean, it's amazing that you took it upon yourself to really learn about the political system here and everything else. And so could you just talk about a little bit past that transition point, how was freshman year coming in socially to tennis and academically?
I mean, it was great coming in and having a team, which I kind of mentioned before. And I found some of my closest friends on the team really quickly, spent so much time with them, which was almost a blessing and a curse. So I think I got really comfortable with my team. And for me, I just loved spending time with them, which is awesome. Like I was super happy. And I think later on, like some people left the team and I was kind of like, okay, there's more to this campus than just my team. At that point, I realized I kind of want to explore Dartmouth a little bit more. And I think I was pretty nervous to make that jump. And I felt alone trying to do that as well. And that was a big part of my freshman experience, kind of realizing that, like, it's amazing having this direct support crew, but like, I want to get to know like so many other people within this school. Also like academically, I was also nervous about that. Like obviously the Ivy League, everyone's like, whoa, like, especially in New Zealand, no one really knows about it, but you know, it's this like prestigious group of, institutions. So, I mean, I've always been pretty serious about academics, but I was still pretty nervous. I think my freshman fall, I took it pretty seriously, maybe relaxed a little bit too much in the winter, and then by the spring found a good balance. So yeah, I think it's a pretty typical freshman experience.
Right. And so let's talk tennis a little. Now let's hop on the court. And what I'm wondering, the biggest thing I'm wondering is, when you came into Dartmouth, having this coach who obviously traveled with you and, you know, you spent 10 years with, and now it's a new country and a new team and a new coach. How did that feel? Did you feel afraid heading into that?
I don't think I was afraid necessarily, but I was already a fully developed player. Like, it's not like I was just starting out and you're working with like the fundamentals. It was kind of, you know, these little things that he had to pick up on. But me and my coach, Bob Dallas, we get along really well. And he was a big reason why I chose Dartmouth. So, I mean, I was kind of excited for a new chapter, and like to play for a team, I think, was really exciting for me. It took me a while, but I think I've kind of learned that there's all these different coaching styles, but it's kind of up to you and like how you react to that, which is going to be the most important part. So, yeah.
That's very well said. And I feel like that is definitely true among many college teams, because there's a coach and then there's often an assistant coach who sometimes has a completely different style.
Exactly. Yeah.
Looking at the other end of it now, I mean, heading into senior year, how does that feel?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still in denial, but I mean, I'm excited for sure. I think it's going to be the best year yet for me. It is a little scary that it is my last year. Obviously, up until this point, everything's been so structured around my life. Like, I've always had practice. I've always had this class regime. Like, I've always had kind of things relatively mapped out for me. And then, you know, after senior, it's kind of whatever you want it to be, which is scary, but I'm also super excited and I think I'm going to be ready for it.
Well, I know that you will be ready for it by the way that you conduct yourself, so you will be fine.
Right.
And where do you see tennis fitting in your life after college? Obviously, it depends on what you're doing career-wise, but how do you see it?
I don't know. I go back and forth with this a lot. I don't know if I would commit to anything like full-time, part-time, but doing like little things on the side with coaching, which I was never expecting to say. But I've been working with someone in the community a little bit, kind of just like hitting with him. And I found it super rewarding to see him grow. And yeah, I would love to keep doing that after college. I think it's awesome.
That is lovely. And, you know, let's talk about what you're doing right now, because this is not tennis and it's very cool.
I'm doing an internship for Apple Watch as a software engineer, which has been super cool. I'm working remotely, which, you know, it has its perks, but it's also a little disappointing I'm not in Cupertino. That would have been a really cool experience. But yeah, I mean, it's incredible working for this large corporation that has such an impact on so many people. And I mean, working with the people that I'm working with has been incredible.
Well, it's cool because it seems like, at least from the outsider perspective, Apple has really moved into the fitness space. And so that must be exciting for you, obviously, moving on from athletics to still be so involved this summer.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm actually on the fitness team. Everyone's super passionate within that organization. And then also throughout Apple, a lot of people really care about their wellness. And there's been a big push towards that. So yeah, it'll be exciting to see kind of where that goes down the line.
And what do you think that you've taken from tennis that you'll bring to the rest of your life?
I mean, as cliche as this sounds, controlling the controllables and not worrying about the uncontrollables is something I'm still coming to grips with. But I think I'm finally learning how important of a skill that is.
Coming from the college team experience, I totally understand with there are so many things that we cannot control.
Honestly, it probably took me till junior year to realize that, it's up to me to just, you know, not worry about it and just, take it as it is. My name is Nina Parapovich and I'm on the rise.
This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket and produced by Molly Scholson. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Shinen, On the Rise.